Praise God. Father, I thank you so much for your presence here in the service. Jesus, I do. I thank you. Thank you so much for your people being where they're at. Your presence wouldn't be here this strong. Shows me that, Father, I have a healthy body to look forward to. And I want to thank you for these people, Lord. And Father, just guide my lips to what I have to say here this morning and what I have to share with your people. And we can finish this next Sunday easy. Father, I just want your people anointed to hear and to understand in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. I just want to say that I thank God that Bobby Cox is with us here this morning. I received an emergency phone call last night and said it was very critical. She was in a pretty bad car accident, and I guess she helped somebody make a left-hand turn. Is that right? And she's done what we all do. We always look over our right shoulder to see if anybody else is coming to kind of, I guess, go around somebody that was making a left-hand turn lane. And so when she looked back over her right shoulder to see if any cars were coming, the vehicle in front of her made a stop. And so she, from what I understand, she hit the person and then hit her accelerator instead of her brake and helped him all the way around the left-hand turn. But it was a real miracle of God, wasn't it, Bobby? Because she had her sun visor down and her head hit the visor, which cracked the windshield, which is kind of nice. But she had more damage done to her by her safety balloon than anything else. They had burns on her arms. Man, them balloons are dangerous, man. So, yeah, those airbags. That's like an airbag, balloons or whatever they are. They're sick, too. I mean, geez. Oh, well. They'll get the hint one of these days. Hallelujah. So I'm glad to see you in service. Bobby, that's... I wouldn't have thought any less for you to stay home and rest up, but she's all right. The doctors are looking to release her real quick. Praise God. I get there, the first thing they said, she ran one off. I hope that was all right to say that. Praise God. But I went in there and they were only practicing. Oh. Praise God. If you will, open up to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. I'm just going to introduce the subject here this morning. And then we'll get into... We can finish this next Sunday easy. But... praise God. Do you want to hear a little of the Word? Or okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. John chapter 9. And let's go to verse 39. John 9:39. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not..." You might want to underline that. In other words, those that do not see might see. And that they which see might be made blind. Boy, isn't that interesting? The Lord wants somebody to go blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Isn't it amazing? Blind people know it. I thought that was very interesting. Blind people do not see. And they know it. They just don't know it. Now notice this. Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." Isn't that interesting? Well, what is Jesus really saying here? Well, did you know that there is a difference between discernment and judgment? There is a difference between the two. A lot of Christians don't understand that. If you've gotten my book, Flesh and Blood, outside of the mistakes that we've already made in our first printing, forget it. But did you happen to notice that what is proper judgment? I did a little synopsis in that book talking about it, and some people came back to me and said that it really helped them to see things a lot more clearer in that area. It's one thing for somebody to come and bring judgment, but it's another thing for somebody to come to bring discernment. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Discernment means to be able to make a distinction. And that's what Jesus is really referring to here. He said the whole purpose of my showing up is that I want to be the vehicle through which discernment will come into the world, the proper discernment. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, they actually were not bringing forth the right kind of discernment that God wanted the world to have because of their own inability. Why? They were blind, but they said that they could see. Well, they were blind guides to the blind. Are you following me? And so Jesus makes a statement that those which have the Spirit about them that says, I don't really see, I want to see. Well, Jesus is going to show them how they can see. But those that have so much pride in their heart and think that they know everything, Jesus said, my discernment will make you blind. Are you following me? And I thought that was very interesting. He wants to bring some kind of discernment into this world so that those which do say that they see, he wants to show them what makes them blind. And the first thing they do is they say, are you talking to me? Whenever somebody is of the wrong spirit, that's the first thing they'll tell you. Well, are you indicating me? Well, it's because there's something wrong there. Why would they even think that? A lot of times I'll meet with certain brothers and sisters in the body and start fellowship with them, and they'll bring up a subject of what they think I'm thinking, and I'm not even thinking that. And I asked the Lord one time, how could they think that I would think that way? He says, because they don't know you. If you don't see and know a person, you don't know what they're thinking, so you're just going to come up with what you call vanity of thinking, vanity of mind. You can pick up vanity of mind by just walking out of this building after this service is over. How? Somebody could look at you wrong. In the minute they look at you wrong, all kinds of thoughts go off in your head. They hate me. What did I do today? I'll bet you they have an attitude towards me, and they probably wasn't even thinking that. I mean, I've had people tell me that they left the church, and I never seen them again. When I run into them, I said, why did you leave the church? Oh, Pastor, I knew what you thought of me. What did I think of you? And you know, it's an indictment against you that they would think that you could think that way about them. That's not right. Now, yeah, I do have the capacity to think that way about some people, but I do deal with it. I do deal with it. How many of you had to deal with it? Yeah, it's funny. Actually, they bring judgment on themselves just by the way they act. Oh, shut up, John. Let's read on. I wish chapter 10 wasn't here, but it is here for the benefit of the readers. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep, notice this, I want you to underline this, the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Underline that. For they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Isn't that very interesting? Now, let's jump over to verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pastors. So we find that Jesus is not only the one who entered in through the door, but he also now becomes the door. And what is he talking about? He's talking about he is the one who came by natural birth and gave his life so that others may come through him for salvation. He not only entered through the door, but he also became the door. How many of you follow what I'm saying? And now I want you to notice what he goes on to say in verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That they might have life and have it more abundantly. Now notice, he goes on down to verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Notice he said, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I know what you're probably thinking. Pastor, where are you going with this? I'm going to cover what little I'm going to talk about this morning. But next Sunday, I'm going to finish this message. I'm going to show you how you can discern when God's voice speaks in your life. You guys want to know how God's voice speaks? You know, it's real simple for me to share with you, but it's real difficult for you to work it out. The times that I've tried to hear God's voice, I'm using this for illustration. Trying to strain to hear His voice out of life. Have any of you ever done that? And how many of you have heard the wrong voice in doing that? Thank God He does give us some clues of how to stay out of the wrong voice. Isn't that good news? Now notice what he says. His sheep hear his voice. So we know that if we're his sheep, we know that we can hear his voice. You know, I worked in a sign shop many years ago in Eugene, Oregon. And there was a lady who loved God. I mean, this lady was turned on over the things of God. I enjoyed fellowshipping with her because she liked to talk about God. But when it came to hearing His voice, she was as dumb as a stump. I mean, if she ever heard a voice of God, I knew it wasn't God's voice. And sure enough, she'd end up into a place or a position in her life that was very difficult to try and get her to see where she was going. And so one day she came up to me and she attended one of our meetings just by chance. She attended one of our meetings. And in this particular meeting, I began to move out in the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. And I've done that here on occasion as the Lord wills. And I'd pull people out and tell them what's wrong with them, or I'd, you know, minister to them or something that only they would know. Are you following me? And she was in the service and she came up to me in our place of work, and she said, Jan, she said, I want to know God's voice like you do. And I looked at her and I said, well, what makes you say that? And she says, well, I was in your service. I did attend. And I said, oh, yeah, I did see you there. And she says, I was amazed at how you could hear His voice. And I know the Bible says that my sheep know my voice, but I want to know His voice like you do. And I says, well, I says, I can't really answer that. I can't give you a pat answer on that. Really, I could have. So I was in a form of hypocrisy with her. Have any of you ever done that? You know you can give them an answer, but you know they wouldn't receive it. How many of you have ever? If you knew they would receive it, you could give it to them. And finally I turned to her. She wouldn't. She said, I want to know His voice. I want to know. And finally I turned to her, and in my relationship with her, she was like a goat. She wasn't a goat, but she was like a goat. In this similarity, she'd eat anything. You know, there are sheep that have a diet of a goat. They'll listen to anything and they'll eat anything. They're prone to gossip. They're prone to everything. They're prone to division. They're prone to non-commitment. Are you following me? And when that happens in our life, we'll listen to anything. Now, how many of you have ever had God definitely tell you something that you never obeyed, but you knew God told you it? Can I see your hands? Oh, boy. It's just almost everybody here. I can testify to that. I have heard God's voice, and I didn't act on it, and wished that I had. How many of you have ever been? Well, then why didn't you? Why didn't you do it? Because you had no confidence in that voice, and yet you knew it was God. But you had no confidence, but you knew it was God. Isn't that weird? How you can sit there and say, I know that was God. Why didn't you do it? I have no idea, but I know it was God. Isn't that weird? Did God speak to you today? Yeah, he sure did. What did he tell you? Something I'm not doing. Why don't you do it? I have no idea why I don't do it. We've all been there. Every one of us. Well, voices, I like to keep it very uncomplicated. And so if you would like to do this, if you have pencil and paper, I want you to write down these areas that voices come from. Voices come from areas, believe it or not. One is the voice of reasoning. This is usually 99% of the voice that we hear, which comes from our carnal mind, the voice of understanding. That's what I call the voice of understanding. This is a voice of the carnal mind. This is the mind that's developed through the senses. Not necessarily bad, but just psuche, the mind of the soul. So we have voices coming from that area, 99.9% of the time. And the sad part about it is, in this voice, many Christians think God's in it. And that's the voice of reasonings. The second one is the voice of the devil himself. This is where he'll say something directly to your mind. This is where Jesus was telling him what he must do in order to bring life to humanity. He must die and be resurrected the third day. And Peter took him aside and rebuked him and had pity on him and everything. And Jesus turned to him and said, Satan, get behind me. Well, he wasn't saying that Peter was the devil, but he knew that Satan had put thoughts into his mind, spoke it directly into his mind. And so he rebuked him, said, get behind me, Satan. I don't want to listen to your voice. Wouldn't that make you feel good? A vessel of the devil. Thanks a lot, Jesus. And I'm having pity on you. Then you have what you call the voice of the Spirit. This is where the Holy Spirit or the human spirit brings forth a voice. This is where the Word of God is heard or comes forth to the conscious mind. Now I'm going to make a bold statement here. The more you understand the Word of God, and I'm not talking about just understanding the Word, but understanding it being rightly divided. In other words, what it belongs to. You see, the more you understand the Word of God as it's rightly divided, the clearer His voice becomes. Because He speaks through His Word. How many understand what I'm talking about? Now, in Romans 10:17, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Matter of fact, I thought it was very interesting, that verse there, 17, literally in the Greek is rhema. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing a rhema of God, a spoken word. And he's talking about those who are preaching the gospel. And so we know that hearing God's voice comes through the ear gate. How many understand it? Now, remember I asked you this question. How many of you have had a word from God and you didn't know it? Or you knew it was from God, but you didn't do it? Well, I'll give you a little clue what that's called. When you hear the Word of God, Satan cometh immediately. You know, we still recognize that was God's voice, but why don't we act on it? Because he came and stole it from your heart. Well, how can he do that? Well, Mark 4 tells us very clearly how he can remove God's voice from what you've heard. Through afflictions and persecutions, the cares of this world, the lust of other things entering in, thorns and he can get that into our life. And so when God speaks a word into our life, the next thing he does is Satan's job is to get you into a state of confusion and not trusting in what God has told you. We had some conflict here in the church a little bit and John had come to me and he said, the people are beginning to question if you can really hear God. God's voice. Well, you know, I recognize, why would my people allow that kind of thinking to get back? I have heard God's voice, but Satan brings afflictions and persecution. Why? For the word's sake. Well, of course, that's the voice of the devil. The first thing he does, he'll try to get into my people to question whether I've heard from God or not. We ought to just not even entertain those kind of thoughts. Sure, I've heard from God. But his job is to come right in because of afflictions and persecution or the cares of this world. I mean, he has a way of getting into the body of Christ to create doubt and confusion. If he can do it in my life, he's going to do it in your life. Why? Because he doesn't want us to trust in God. Now, there's two words you can get from God. You can get a word right out of the Word of God, or you can get a personal word from God within your own heart. That's the one that gets more confusing every day, and I'll give you a clue how to stay out of it. Did you know Jesus gave us a clue on how to distinguish His voice? Let's read on in John 10 here. I will be closing on this one. Verse 12. Look at verse 12 in John 10. This is going to bless you. Because when God showed me this, I got excited because I saw myself entertaining the wrong voice. Are you ready? But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd. So he's referring to someone who's hired into the kingdom of God, not as a sheep, but a leader of the sheep. Okay? And whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf scattereth them and scattereth the sheep. That means the leadership of that sheepfold then ran off and left the sheep prey to wolves. Why? I'll give you a little clue. Anybody got any reason why? Huh? Not his sheep. And what other thing? What other thing? He had the heart of a what? Hireling. That's very important. Now keep that in mind. Because we're going to find the word hireling mentioned three times in two verses. He says, the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. Now I want you to notice a verse again. Go back up to this verse. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Do you know what that verse is saying? That God gives his life without what? Can anybody tell me? Without what? Without what? Can I give you a clue? It starts with a C. Without cost. Now notice this, without cost. Now jump down here at verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, without cost. If you go down to verse 18, he brings up the same thing again. I lay my life down without cost. Now, why would he focus in on the fact that my sheep hear my voice, and he brings up the issue of someone being over the sheepfold, and yet he has a spirit about him that's very interesting. It is called the spirit of a hireling. And I've found that I can also have a spirit of a hireling about me, whether I'm a pastor or not. Why? Because the term hireling is a very interesting Greek word. This word means one who works for wages. He expects a return on their time. They expect a return on their time given. He expects the right return on their performance. Period. That is the heart of a hireling. And I found it in my own life. I have expected a performance out of certain people, and it drew me to a place where I actually could also become a wolf in their life. Are you following me? It's very interesting why he brings us up by not being able to discern God's voice, because these guys that were over this sheepfold, evidently somehow they didn't see or know the Lord that whom they were supposed to know. And they were affecting other sheep. Why? Because they had a spirit about them called hireling. I'm going to tell you something. When people have
the capacity to be easily offended, that is the first sign they have a hireling mentality about them. Why? Because I'll take somebody and bring them into my life, and I am their friend, I am committed to them, as long as they don't bring an offense to my life. In other words, if they make any mistakes, we could have some problems. Are you following me? And the minute they make a mistake, I then become offended because of their mistakes, so therefore, that is the first sign I have a hireling mentality about me. Do you know, I thought it was very interesting. I'm gearing up for this marital class for a week, and Ken Stewart brought out a very interesting point about the word adultery. Matter of fact, he put it in the right perspective for me. I was reading it, and I said, wow, he finally hit it. There was something I wasn't getting until he went and followed through on this word adultery, and he followed it through on the Greek and the Hebrew. And you know what the word adultery comes from? The word apostate. It comes off the word apostate. So he translated Jesus' statement on this adultery, and he mentioned fornication. And did you know that it finally dawned on me, adultery covers several areas, but whenever it covers the sexual realm, he terms it fornication. I had never seen that before. So there is such a thing as having a spirit of adultery about you in the sexual act called fornicating. Are you following me? But you can also have the spirit of adultery about you because you have the potential to be an apostater. What is an apostater? One who never is really committed. It means someone can come along and buy him out with a greater performance from what you're already committed to. We'll call them adulterers. In other words, they can go ahead and say, I do, but the right Joe comes along and they say, I don't. That's where the spirit of adultery comes into to focus. Non-commitment. Non-commitment. Now I understand why God chooses bodies throughout the state or a city or a town, different bodies of Christ, to challenge us to find the body that is committed to the Word of God and stay committed. It does away with the spirit of adultery in our hearts. And every one of us have it to a degree. You're not without an exception. You might sit there and say, well, that doesn't match me. I'll get somebody to rub you wrong, baby, with their chip, and you'll find out you got a log to deal with. How much longer do I have to put up with this? Well, you guys did such a good job at blessing me financially here this morning, I thought I'd bless you back good. Now that isn't right, because I'm just saying they hired me. Scratch that one. Do you know one of the things that really destroys God's ability to have His voice clear in your life is the minding of the flesh. Romans 8. When you're fostering the temptation to sin, you'll lose God's voice in that. Whether it's between each other, sin between each other, or sin with yourself, personal habits of the flesh. Listen, how many of you have ever thought of not having any daily fellowship with the Lord, prayer, as a sin? How many of you ever heard of the term out of fellowship? You know what that means? No communication with someone. I found out a lot of Christians do not know that they're out of fellowship with God. Why? They don't have a daily communication with Him. And you know, that could happen on any level, from pastor on down. If I don't have a daily fellowship with the Lord, I'm out of fellowship. It doesn't mean I'm not saved. It means I'm out of fellowship. That's what it means, out of fellowship. It doesn't say I'm out of relationship. I'm out of fellowship. We've given altar calls for those out of fellowship, and just a few have come forward. Only the honest ones. Oh, shut up, John. Man, I'm trying to bless the people here. Now, I want you to notice that the spirit of a hireling is important to understand. I want us to go back to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to show you how I picked up the spirit of a hireling. Matthew chapter 7 is a very interesting chapter. because it deals with the culmination of the Lord's Prayer. And I want us to go to verse 22. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Do you know what this verse is a verse of? They're making an appeal on their good works. Now let me ask you something. Is that a prayer of asking, seeking, and knocking? Because just before you get to this passage, in the beginning of the chapter, he said, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open to you. Well, we had a bunch of guys that wasn't happening. Why? Well, number one is we do understand that they got under false teachers or wrong kinds of doctrine, and they couldn't even discern the fruit on some of these people's tree that they were under. They got under wrong teachers. And as a result, when the evil day came, the rains descended and the floods came, their foundation was not built upon a rock, it was built upon that which is shifting. Shifting. Called shifting sand. And so you know what they did? They made an appeal. Rather than asking, seeking, knocking, they made an appeal. Off of what? Their good works. So that shows me what kind of heart that they have. A hireling mentality. Lord, have we not? And he just got through telling you in the very beginning of that, man, you ask, you'll find, you knock, you'll get it. They weren't getting it. And he goes and makes this statement. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me that work iniquity. That means he did. But Lord, you said here you never know. This is a Greek word, gnosko. This is not oida. Now let me explain that to you. Oida means complete knowledge or a relationship involved. Where gnosko means an expanding relationship. So one writer actually put it this way that understands the Greek language quite well. He says the difference between gnosko and oida demand consideration. Gnosko frequently suggests inception or progress in knowledge, while oida suggests fullness of knowledge. John 8:55. Thus in Matthew 7:23, it would have been better translated this way, that I have never been in an improving connection with you. They were born again. He says in that day, he was talking about the kingdom of heaven. That's when Jesus is apart from the earth, and the earth is operating in all three realms. The third heaven, the second heaven, demonic realm, and then this planet earth. Because give us this day our daily bread so that the will of God be done in earth as it is in heaven. Are you following me? And so where did these people miss it with the voice of God? They were hirelings in their hearts. They expected people to perform, and if they violated the performance that they expected, they got into a spirit of adultery and became non-committed. Well, doesn't that really help us? Yeah, it does. It helps me to understand that whenever I expect any kind of performance in people, and what kind of expecting, where is this found in Matthew 7? The chip that's in your brother's eye. How many of you realize that there ain't one of us that are perfect sitting in this body? Can I hear? Amen. I won't ask for hands. Brad Lane, a pastor friend of mine, and I will close on this one. He was listening to a Christian TV program in Eugene, Oregon. And this pastor said, I want you to call in. I want Christians to call in. If you can truthfully say that you have never sinned a sin since you've been saved. Now, you would think that was a slam dunk. Hardly anybody'd call. And if somebody did call, you'd know they were whacked. Did you know that his phone rang off the hook? And he talked to certain Christians, and he said mainly it was the elderly ladies. Nothing against elderly ladies now here. That said they have never sinned since they got saved.
That's what this minister said. Lady, you just lied. You sinned.
Just now. But the phone ran off the hook. They all said they had not sinned. Any of you got that mentality out there? Don't show it. Don't. I don't want to see you. Because we have deliverance service in back rooms around here. But a hireling mentality fosters adultery in our heart. So what is adultery? Basically, non-commitment. Whether it's with friends or whether it's with a church or whether it's a marital mate, a spirit of adultery means non-commitment. It means that you're willing to apostatize. We only think of apostasy in the area of the Lord. But you can have a spirit of apostasy about you in your relationship with your family, your children, your kids, your church. I found over the years, being a pastor, I can't mentor those that haven't received me as their pastor. It's impossible. They'll find something wrong every time with what I say or what I teach. They'll always find something wrong. Why? Because a hireling has the ability to find chips in people's lives. I had that hireling mentality about me with this own body. I started this church. Somebody said, Pastor, I want to leave the church, but I decided to say, well, don't feel bad. I want to leave my own church, so don't feel bad. You think you're the only one that wanted out of here? I want it out too. So if I want it out, I don't blame you wanting out. You know what I mean? Because everything challenges. You follow what I'm saying? But I hadn't realized what a big adulterer I was until I started praying and getting in fellowship with God. And God said hello one day. Remember I shared that with you? It really ticked me off. He said hello. Kind of indicating, where have you been? And the first thing he said, I want it out. I'm heading down the road. I don't have a problem with working for a living. I realize now I've got a job. Boy, what a job. Anyway. I said, the people you gave me, I got a problem with them. And you heard my wonderful testimony. The Lord said goodbye. You know, when somebody tells you goodbye, doesn't that make you feel good? How would you like to go up to your boss and say, I'm out of here. I got this problem wrong, this problem, this problem, this problem with you. And he turned around and said goodbye. Wouldn't that tick you off? You'd be better off saying, oh, I'm sorry, you know, I want you to stay. Please stay, I need you. Will you please stay? That's what you'd really like your boss to tell you. But when your boss tells you goodbye, well, you feel so unappreciated. I said, Lord, you ain't making this thing better for me. He says, oh, yes, I am. I'm doing you a favor. Goodbye. How is that doing me a favor? He says, and that's when he put it into my heart of understanding about the voice of God. You can't hear his voice when you're hireling. See, I was being challenged. Am I going to run off because my people are weird when I'm weird too? If I'm a hireling, what do you expect out of the people? Well, then what do you want? Tell me, Lord. Just go ahead and step aside. I'll get somebody who can handle it. Ooh, I want you to know that did something to me. What do you mean can handle it? Well, you tell me you can? Sure I can. Then forgive your people. That's when you don't let anything come out your mouth, you know what I mean? I thank God I stayed. I don't know whether the Lord thanks me for staying, but I stayed. And I've been happier ever since. 7 years ago, to this day, I decided to get rid of that spirit of adultery about me. I didn't want to be a hireling. I didn't want to hire people into my life. That's why I made a decision not to look at people's giving. Because I didn't want to know my people by according to their dollar amount that they give into the church. I want to know them for face value of what I can put into them and they can put into me. That's the way we should be. But a lot of us don't realize you're going to lose God's voice if you hire people into your life. You can't run off. You can't just blow up and run off and say, and that's it. This is the last straw. I've had it. It don't work. I was there.
I'm handed. This is the last straw. If I get another weird one in this body, I'm finished.
Well, God said, well, get rid of you. Because there isn't a one of us that can perform perfect. And people that are hirelings, people that don't know God's voice, they don't know Him or see Him, guess what? Those are the ones you got to walk on eggshells around. How many of you have known Christians in your life? When this is how you walk around them. What are you doing? You got eggshells all around you. Why? If I step on one, I've had it.
How many of you have been around Christians like that? You say or do one wrong thing, they're out of here. Why? They got a spirit of adultery about them. So what did you get out of the morning's message? We're talking about how to distinguish God's voice. And then we'll finish this next Sunday. Did you get something here today? Okay, praise God.